So I'm excited about the message, and I'm excited about what's going to be released. Philip, so we were just talking about this in our prayer time just before we came down. I really felt this is what the Lord wanted to communicate with us today, the message that's on my heart, the importance of praise and worship. And so Philip pulls this out of his pocket, and he says, somebody gave me this word, so can you just... can you just share that?
Yeah, I'm not sure who it came from, but anyway, the Lord said to this guy, praise and worship moves me to do outrageous acts of blessing on the earth. Praise and worship moves me to do outrageous acts of blessing on the earth. We welcome your acts of blessing, Lord.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, you've heard me say that one of the things that God said very clearly to us, I believe that God, you know, speaks to us. I believe God, we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. He's, you know, we're his sheep. He speaks to us. So when God speaks to you, you got to take heed and listen, and do it in regard to, you know, wherever you're at. And one of the things that God spoke to us, and I shared this with you earlier, he spoke to us about the importance of, you know, even the title or the name that we would give this church, this fellowship. And you've heard me say this before, that he really gave us this name as we listened to him. And the name that he gave us for this community, this church, is Community Worship Center. And what's interesting, it was prophetically given. What I mean is that all of that was still in its inception. All of that was just given in inception. It was also like, it was like conceived. It was like, you know, God says, I'm putting something in your fellowship. And this is the substance of what I see. The substance of what I see in this community church, the substance of what I see in this church is it's going to be a community, a place where people feel a sense of fellowship, a community, relationally, and in every which way. And you know what? It's never been easy because we have people scattered all over to come to this church. But God's got something in mind in a community, in a sense of community, in a sense of what fellowship looks like. And then the second thing was worship. And in regard to worship, I really felt the Lord said, this is something that you church, this fellowship will carry. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, are we going to be another Hillsong church? Lord, are we going to be another Bethel church? Or whatever church you guys, you know, if you're worshiping people, you listen to some great music and thinking that's, and you know, I don't know if the Lord very specifically gave us an answer to that, but really he said, you're going to be a worshiping church. You're going to be a church that you know, brings me to the center. You're going to be worshiping and praising church. And for many years, we struggled with worship. We struggled with, you know, I would say, in regard to not only just, you know, in terms of freedom of worship. And we've struggled with just, you know, just even, we'll say, worship teams and, you know, instruments, people that would lead us in worship. So for years we were in that place, but it was prophetic. It's a call of God. And all of a sudden we have things going on. And you know what's amazing is, who are we? Just a small lot of people, small group of people. And God says, no, you're going to be a worshiping church. You're going to be a praying church. You're going to be a church which has community. And then the last one was you're going to be a church, and it'll be center. Now listen, the word center, there's two different words for center, right? There's the word C-E-N-T-E-R, which means the middle. And then the word center, C-E-N-T-R-E, it means a place, a location, physical. You know, so what we said, oh God, we're at the funeral home. We're to be a community worship and center, that we would have a location and a place. And all of a sudden, it became a reality. Are you getting it? That's our God. His ways are not our ways. We just step out in faith. And we believe and we trust and we just venture out and God just opens a door. You know, God delights when his people can worship him and praise him and give him thanks before the very thing even happens that they're praying for. Did you hear what I just said? Praise and worship and thanksgiving to God is for, praise and worship is ascribing to God who he is. It's speaking to God, saying, you're faithful. Your promises are yes and amen. You're true. You're loving. You're kind. You're compassionate. Jesus, you're amazing. So praise is about who he is. And we come into his courts with thanksgiving and enter his and come into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. So we come in. So thanksgiving is, you know, this, and I sometimes I know we get it a little bit, oh, we can't really distinguish the two, and I'm okay with that. It's not like God saying, that's thanksgiving, that's praise. Let's fix it up a little bit here. God doesn't really care, but he wants us to acknowledge him for who he is. And oftentimes thanksgiving comes afterwards, but praise ought to be all the time. You can thank God beforehand. Sure, I'm not saying you can't, but at least get to the place of praising him for who he is and acknowledging his faithfulness, acknowledging he is the yes and amen God, acknowledging that he is true to his word and that, yes, all his promises are yes and amen. So praise before it happens. Praise is an invitation for God to come in. Praise is an opportunity to declare that God is faithful and true before it even happens. Praise is recognizing, you know, God, hey, and really, can you imagine how it would take, it does take faith. It takes faith to praise God in the midst of stuff that ain't happening. It's a lot easier to complain and gripe. Come on. How many of you know that it takes faith to thank God and praise God for something that you haven't yet seen? Isn't it a lot easier to complain? Come on. Are you human? You're like anybody else here besides me? Anybody else human besides me? So, what I'm saying is God is saying that he is worthy of praise. And we make a declaration. We, you know, I don't know if somebody heard, maybe you heard recently that Gifts from the Heart, Betty's and Rob's, charity, the ministry that they do, got a home. Hey, isn't that right? That's, come on, how long has that been coming, right? Amen, praise the Lord. But you know something? God is faithful and true. And we're going to say, oh, yeah, well, where's, you know, God didn't make it happen. It was the government or people, you know, I just see by the look at, you know, the post that it was government and it was, you know, maybe businessmen and other people, right? But hey, but who was it really? Why do we pray, Rob? Do we pray just to say, well, God, we're just going to say it because it's a nice thing to say, God, help us with this. We prayed why? Because we really believe who's behind it all. Right? Praise be to God. God works through people. Come on, man. It's just how it is. Everything, in everything, give thanks to God. Everything, give him praise. Amen. So praise is just, so is it any wonder? You know, because it's praise. You know, praise is, Why would we praise? Well, I've already started on this, but we praise because God lives in praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. He lives, he dwells, he's very much at home in praise. He even says, you know, if my people won't praise me, I can make the rocks to cry out. Every created thing, what's amazing is I believe all created things give praise to God in some way or another. Even the flowers of the field. And you know, certainly the animals and the birds, like the, you know, we don't know what they're saying because we can't talk bird talk. Maybe you can. Maybe you are a bird whisperer. Or whatever. But anyways, but there's something about these creatures that give praise and glory to God. All creation praises God. And so it's just true that God lives in the praises of his people. He's really at home in praise. And you know what's interesting is when he's at home in something, he's free then to do as he wishes. He's right at home. It's his territory. Can you picture that? If you're at home, you're basically free to do as you please. So, Lord, we make a room for you here. We make this place a sanctuary for God. You know, in the Old Testament, there were places where it's like God is everywhere all the time. You all agree? Are you listening? Anybody here? Frequency. Oh, right there. Gotcha. God's everywhere, all the time. But interesting enough, there were certain people, certain groups of people that ascribed him as Lord, and he dwelt amongst his people. Yes, we might say that God didn't need a dwelling place physically, but it happened to be that, you know, people wanted a very tangible sense of his presence, so they built a tabernacle, right? And so God would show up in different ways in their time of worship at the tabernacle. There was the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Shekinah glory of God. It was like the very presence of God, which was in the ark. You remember that? And in the Old Testament, this was a presence of God. Then they built a temple to God, or to host his presence, really, basically. And so God was okay with that. Solomon built a temple, and then that was destroyed. Another great temple was built after that. But, you know, but God still had something greater. Because God didn't really want to be limited with the physicality of these things. In the end, what God really wants is praise from the heart. What God is looking for is worshipers that worship in spirit and truth, right? Jesus said. So even in that context, how many remember that story, John chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman? Right, and they were talking about where is a place to worship. You know, she said to Jesus, "You know, you people worship here. We worship up in the mountains because in Samaria." Do you remember that? And Jesus says, "Don't worry about where you worship. It's what's important is your heart. Those that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And the word truth is worship in a sense of reality, a sense that's not just." Oh, true, because it's accurate. It was about the heart. So God is interested in that. So even in the Old Testament, something takes place. I just love this. This was kind of an interesting thing. And I want you to see this as a place where it's so vital to see that God, through Jesus, has reclaimed something that God always intended. A worshiping community, which are his people, who worship from the heart. So Jesus has come to redeem a humanity that they would express to God true worship. Now, but in the Old Testament, There was somebody who got this idea that, hey, yeah, it's true. As a matter of fact, this person really did feel that it was important for God to have a home in this way. And he wanted to build God a temple. His name was David. And David, God said to David, I love your heart. I think, you know, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. But I'll tell you, you're not going to build a temple. Your son, Solomon, is going to build a temple. Do you remember that? But David still had, it was so much in his heart to give praise and worship to God that he wrote majority of the songs that are in your Bible. He was a worshiper, a true, faithful psalmist, writer, who expressed worship from the heart. And as a matter of fact, he loved worship so much that he actually felt strongly in his heart that not only would there be a meeting place, a temple, or a tabernacle. David's time was still a tabernacle. But this would be an opportunity to give God praise and worship and establish him a house of worship. A house, and it's called the Tabernacle of David. How many of you know that? There's a place where David actually built God, and I would say built a place where worship would go to God 24 hours, 7 days a week. And for 40 years, this continued. Can you imagine? Worship and praise giving to God. And, you know, people would take turns. They would come in and they would worship God. And it would be just amazing. And isn't it any wonder that God did amazing things through that time of David's rule and reign? So God loves praise. He loves worship. He loves this opportunity that we have to come into his presence. This is an amazing study or a book. If you ever want to do it, we have copies of this. If you want to do it personally or corporately, or a few people want to get together, it's called Hosting His Presence. It's by Bill Johnson. How many of you have seen this one before? It's amazing. We've done it a few times in small group. But I love what this passage. So there's a time in the New Testament. Now we're going to shift gears here. So David's tabernacle was established. And it was a tabernacle of praise and worship. And it's spoken of in the Old Testament. We're not going to turn to it right this minute. But something happened, and we have a scripture that makes reference to David's tabernacle. I want you to get a little bit of a history here. When the church was being established in the book of Acts, the first believers were Jews, right? Because they, you know, Jesus came to his own, and it seemed like this was the first community that believed in him were those who were Jews. And then all of a sudden, the gospel, the good news, started spreading to the Gentiles. Do you remember that? And as it went into, Gentiles simply means non-Jews. So when it started to go into that community of non-Jews, it was amazing. And it was at the same time, it was radical. For people who had God as a covenant-keeping God for them, all of a sudden this covenant-keeping God with Jewish people, the Hebrew people, now is touching people that aren't Jews, that aren't circumcised. You know, this was strange, but it started to take place, and many of them were being touched by Holy Spirit and coming to God, and it was uproar. It was like exciting times. But what's interesting is, in the midst of it, there were some Jews of the order of a religious sect. Remember the Pharisees? Well, these people, some of them also became followers of Jesus, and they wanted these Gentile believers to follow the law as well as follow Jesus. And all the way, even through the other parts of the New Testament, you find people struggling with following the law or living by grace and by faith. So the apostles got together and they started to talk about this. It's found in Acts 15. If, I don't know if you can bring it up. Is that something possible? Sometimes we have a handle on that. Acts chapter 15 and verse 13 to 20. If it's possible to bring it up. So Bill Johnson makes reference to this, and I'm going to read the scripture and talk about it for a few minutes. Because I want to see why it's important. I want us to see why it's important. Why is praise and worship important? So they were having this meeting in Acts chapter 15 and in verse 13. If you guys can bring it up, great. Otherwise, we're not going to waste our time on it. So I'm going to read it here. If you have your Bible, it's up there. Great, awesome. Acts chapter 15. And verse 13. Okay, what, why don't we scroll through? So scroll through pretty quickly. When they had finished, James spoke up. Brothers, listen to me. Okay, next verse. Let's. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking the Gentiles as a people for himself. The words of the prophet are in agreement with this, as it is written. And what are the words of the prophet? And this, after these things, I will return and I will rebuild the temple, the fallen tent, the temple or tabernacle of David, which is fallen. Right? And I will, what's he saying? I will rebuild it. I will restore it. And what's the reason? I will restore it that the remnant of men may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things. Another translation, it says, listen to this translation. It says, so that all the rest of humanity, mankind, may seek the Lord. Come on, isn't that awesome? Okay, let's read on verse, the next verse. 18. And keep going, and that have been known for the ages. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. Right? And then he just basically gave them three things that were pretty common. You know, that they would abstain from eating food offered to idols and sexual immorality and from the meat strangled of animals. So basically, there were just three things they said. That's, you know, this basic stuff. Let's just keep it simple here. You know, let's follow Jesus and let's keep it simple. Amen? So y'all follow me. But now I want you to get something here because it's so important that we don't miss the whole point of what is being spoken here. Got to get back to this commentary. I just thought it was very, very interesting, and I want to read it for you. So this is what I like. Listen to what Bill Johnson says. I just thought I'd just read it for you. Notice in Acts 15. Passage is the mention of the tabernacle of David. This is one story in the Old Testament that provides greater basis for this theme of the Christian life than any other. It is a story of heart, of presence, of extravagant worship, and unusual purposes among the nations. David's tabernacle became the backdrop for life as we know it today. In the New Testament church, it had to do with David, who functioned as a priest and even called, he's also called a prophet, and he was, of course, a king. It's a complete prototype, a picture of Christ. And it portrays the coming New Testament believer. Listen, this is amazing. Don't miss it. We're called as kings. And priests and prophets. So this tabernacle of David was built. 24 hours a day, priests would worship. And then Amos, can you just turn to Amos chapter 9, verse 11 and 12? Because I want us to see something here. How many of you want to see people come to know Jesus? How many want to see this world come to know Jesus? How many want to see signs, wonders, miracles, healings? Come on. Okay. Don't minimize the power of praise and worship and seeing God do his wonders, his acts, miracles, evangelism, outreach, saving lives, healing people, delivering people. It's all connected. So in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, it says, in that day I will, what's it say? Restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken place and restore its ruin and build it as it used to be. And what is the rest of it? Verse 12. So that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. So what he says is possessing Edom, he says, is like all, and it's all the nations, all the Gentile nations will see. And by seeing this, they will come to know Jesus. There's something about restoration of worship, restoration of praise, that brings an opportunity for the Gentiles to be saved. Okay, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You have the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We're doing a little Bible study here today. Flipping your Bibles open. Philippians 2, verse 5. So listen to this. This is a passage that you're familiar with in 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, beginning in verse 4, Philippians 2, 1 Peter 2, verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You are a piece of rock, as I am. You're a piece of rock. You're a living stone. You're a stone which lives. That's what he's talking about. He's building something. He's building a tabernacle. He's building a dwelling place. Can you see that? All right. So it's spiritual. It doesn't have to be physical. This is what's taking place. What David established was physical, but it was also spiritual. So now we as the people of God, what these people in the book of Acts, we're recognizing, hey, guess what? This Old Testament thing that took place and this prophetic word that Amos gave is now coming to pass. And in the church, in this new establishment, this new building that God is making with people as stones, it's a place where God is establishing a house of worship. A house of praise. It's a place where, look what it says here. It says God's taking these spiritual stones and we're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we're not here offering sacrifices of blood, goats and bulls and animals. We're here offering sacrifices of praise. We're offering sacrifices of praise to God. And in this place, these sacrifices of praise are acceptable to God. Look at verse 9. In verse 9 of same chapter, of 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. So God is saying that, you know, through his right prophets and teachers, and that this is what it's about. It's like God is now calling people. And you know what's interesting? Think about this for a minute. This is where it's at. In heaven, described in the book of Revelation, it'll continue forever. Praise and worship is the place where, you know, it's like it's God's home. So when all you got to do is read your Bible, open the book of Revelation, read chapter 4, chapter 5. They are before the throne of God giving him praise from every tribe, every tongue, every nation worshiping God. Now, I'm suggesting that it's probably going to be like this. Some of you will worship for a while, then you go do something and come back and worship for a while. Others will take the place. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm just saying it's going to be that worship that continues forever. Who are we talking about anyways? God. How can you exhaust worship and praising God? You heard me say this. You know, the expression that's going to come out of the worshipers is holy, holy, holy. And you maybe heard me say this before. You know why they're doing holy, holy, holy? And maybe there's other reasons for it. But they're like, you know, it's like God shows something of himself, and they got to say, holy. And God shows another thing, another revelation of himself, and they say, holy. It's like, what the idea is, I didn't know that about you, God. Oh, really? Holy. Holy. Holy is out of this world. Holy is beyond our grasp and understanding. It's like God is going to reveal so much of himself. You know, is it any wonder that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus because she was getting revelation? Really, Lord? Tell me more. Tell me more. Really, God? It's amazing. How wonderful. You know, we get to taste a bit of that here. We get to taste a bit of his presence here. You and I, as a people of God, get to taste God's goodness, God's greatness, God's majesty, God's holiness. We get a glimpse of it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we have Holy Spirit who brings revelation of who God is to our hearts? Come on. I'm so glad that God shows us himself. Now, if you're not seeing God in some way, in some capacity, in creation, in everything around you, then you just need to ask God, give me eyes to see. Because heaven and earth declare the glory of the Lord. The heavens and the earth declare the glory of God, which is the manifest sense of his presence. The glory of God is being revealed. So, let's remember this then, the establishment of a people. So here's what I'm trying to communicate. Hopefully you got it already. I'll sum it up in this way in regard to the tabernacle of David. God had in his mind that a people would be redeemed, brought into a relationship with him, that they would be the house of worship. They would be a tabernacle that David already had started in some capacity. So when the Gentiles started to come into the kingdom, so because in that capacity, in that place, here's the thing, guys. What was the reason, some of you know the story, that Mike Bickle from Kansas City, that run for 10 years or more than 10 years now, I don't know, maybe 20 years, but they're doing I think it is quite a bit, maybe it's that long, have been doing a house of prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And God gave them this mandate to start this place, and it's a place of worship. You can live stream it. Just go to Kansas City House of Prayer. It's constant worship and praise every day, for all around the clock. IHOP KC, thank you. So the vision came out of this. That is it possible that we could gather in a place where when we worship and pray, and worship and yes, worship and pray, that we can actually see nations come into the kingdom? Are we going to take his word as truth? Are we going to believe in the prophet of Amos, the prophet? Are we going to believe that when we see this happening, that something is going to shift and nations are going to come into the kingdom of God? That's the reason for it. Now, whether it happens in a very physical location, like houses, house of prayer, or whether it happens that God's people are, you know, in different places, giving praise and worship and appealing to God for the promises of God for this, you know, mass conversion and healing and deliverance. Come, Lord Jesus, do it again. I want the Lord to do it again. Man, I want to be a part of it. I don't want to miss it. I thank God I am a part of it. Come on. You can choose to be a part of it. It's so important to just, you know, consider yourself to be a part of making that difference. So I just declare that this is the time when God's people are rising up. And I'm just saying even that we're reestablishing, and I'm reclaiming and confessing that this place, Community Worship Center, as a church and as a body, is a house of prayer and a house of worship, a house of praise. And we're going to be a place like the tabernacle of David. I don't know what the Lord is saying in regard to how many times, how often we're going to express worship to God, but I'm just saying, I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will be done. I want to see the Lord shift. I want to see the Lord move. I want to see, you know, God's hand at work in our midst and through us, his people. You know, it's interesting because when we see biblical examples of when people made praise and worship a priority personally, make it a priority personally, and make it a priority corporately when you gather together, that something of the mighty hand of God in deliverance, healing, came through. There was like, so some of you know this story, maybe you don't, but there's one story in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you've read it, it was Jehoshaphat, the king at that time, who the armies of the other nations, five different armies of other nations were coming against Jehoshaphat. And it's interesting because when you look at that story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'll just get a glimpse of it here, just for reference, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So there were several armies of the nations of the world were coming against Jehoshaphat, and verse 2 says, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already there. When it was mentioned to Jehoshaphat, he cried out to God in verse 6. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, and he describes to God who he is. He starts worshiping God right away. God, you're the Lord in heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. Oh, you're our God. That's amazing how he used worship, then he used scriptures, His promises of God, it's like, this is not a message for another day, but it's just amazing. But as he makes this declaration, God comes to him and gives him, through prophetic word, what he needed to do. So he gets his people together and gets his army together. God had already given him instruction as to what to do. And as they gathered together, this is interesting because he set before his army worshipers. He set a group of people to praise and worship. Verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and of Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Come on. And it's amazing when you read the rest of the story how God breaks through in that way. Now, there's another one in the New Testament. Paul and Silas are in prison, right? You remember that one? Paul and Silas are in prison, Acts chapter, I think it's 17. I can't think of the reference right this minute. But at that time, they're just singing up a storm, worshiping and praising God in the midst of prison. Two evangelists that are put in prison, and what do? They worship God. And in this time of worship, God comes in and breaks through. Not just breaks through, breaks in and breaks the prison, the chains that are binding these apostles. It breaks the chains off of them, and they're free to go. Everybody else takes off, but or they were trying to take off, but Paul said, no, don't, hold on here. And anyways, the story goes that they, in this time of praise and worship, see such a breakthrough that God delivers them. Of course, Peter also is delivered from prison. And as a result of others in the church prayer meeting, praising and worshiping God and giving thanks, he's released from prison as well, is he not? Earlier on in that same book of Acts. So God is able, through praise and worship, deliver us, set us free, you know, break the chains, demolish the enemy's stronghold. Is it any wonder that the devil wants to disrupt worship and praise?
Can I put a current context to that?
Sure.
So Kobe and I, back in Ontario, did what we call soaking, where we have gathered a bunch of people. They would just actually literally lie on the ground. So they would bring blankets and pillows, and we would sing worship songs over them. And we witnessed people receive actual physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing. And all we did was sing praise over them. That's all we did. Because God says, I inhabit the praise of my people. And so when we submit ourselves to that praise, when we lay ourselves down, God is able to do something to us. God inhabits the praise, and God works and brings healing to us.
Amen. Amen. So last night we're here, and we're worshiping God. So you know, Saturday nights we do the house of prayer. Much of the night is worship, and it's worship and praise. It's just amazing. We had two ladies here from Quebec, the house of prayer in Quebec. The director of house of prayer in Quebec was here. There was a lady from the States here. This place was, you know, there's many people here last night as there are this morning. Isn't that true? Those of you that were here, it's just amazing. We had a tremendous night in the presence of God. Amen. And I felt back pain through the, you know, it was just bothering me as I walked in. And I'm just saying, we just declared over the people, let the Lord bring healing even through worship. So let the Lord touch your body even now through worship. Let the Lord bring deliverance. Come on, can the Lord do it? So let's, Irvin and Kobe, get your team ready. Yeah, you go gather your team. Get yourselves ready. Amen, in Jesus' name, amen. Somebody, all right? So, you know, we practice what we preach here. So I just said, Lord, come and bring healing. And I'm sitting there with the uncomfortable back. And I'm just saying, Lord, I need your touch. Chuck.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, within minutes, the heat of God, the presence of God touched my back, and the pain was gone. You know, and it gets sore at times. And maybe even now I'm feeling it. I'm expecting God to break through now. I'm expecting a breakthrough. Anybody else looking for a breakthrough? Who wants a breakthrough in this worship time? Come on.